Investing Simplified is brought to you by Chuck Price, President and Wealth Manager of Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm and author of Investing Simplified, the book. Individual situations will vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated. Investing Simplified is the longest-running live financial show in America, with a financial advisor, an estate planning attorney, and a CPA to answer your questions for free, and is broadcast live from Portland, Oregon on affiliated stations throughout the Pacific Northwest. Chuck can be contacted by visiting www.pfgwm.com. You can email Chuck with a question at askchuck@pfgwm.com. Or you can call him right now at 503-417-9595. That's 503-417-9595. Or for our long distance and podcast listeners, you can call toll free at 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Chuck Price.
Well, welcome to Investing Simplified. We got a great show this morning, and if you're a property owner, this, I'm going to tell you something that I have in my book, is a subtitle of my book, Investing Simplified. What you don't know can hurt you. And in this case, what you don't know can cost you a lot of money. And in studio with us today is Kevin Stege with the Baker Carlson CPA firm.
Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning.
Hello.
And online we have Carl Jepson, attorney at law. Carl, are you there?
Good day, gentlemen. Good.
We got a full house today, and in studio is Steve Anderson. And Steve Anderson, for those of you who don't know Steve, we've had him on the show before. Steve is the guy that can help you with your property tax, and in many, many cases can get your property tax reduced and get you some gigantic refunds. And so we're going to jump right into it since we've got Steve here. And I'm going to have him do a little introduction of himself and tell you folks. But listen, I've been telling you the last couple of weeks we're going to have Steve on the show. And I said, anybody who's retired, anybody who's facing retirement, and you're looking at your property tax bill, it's one of those things where a lot of my clients, because a lot of my clients are retired, a lot of my clients are paying more in property tax than they paid for mortgage payments when they bought their home. Talk about insanity. But anyway, Steve, tell us about your program.
Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning,
guys. I was appointed to the Clackamas County Board of Tax Appeals back in 2007 and spent 4 years there. Was involved in over 2,000 decisions in values ranging from about $4,000 to $165 million, which is the Clackamas Town Center. And since then, our group has offered our expertise, in parentheses, if you will, to Oregon and Washington taxpayers, and we've been successful in thousands of cases collecting millions of dollars in tax refunds for our clients all across the board, residential, commercial, industrial, raw land, et cetera. And I'm here today to kind of talk about some of the things that are going on in the property tax situation, and to remind Oregon taxpayers that your bill's coming in about 3 weeks. So you're going to have a little surprise in the mail there. And I want to put a word about a myth out there that taxes can go up more than 3% in Oregon. Everybody thinks it's 3%. And essentially in Portland this year, they will go up more than 3% because the voters last year supported the PCC bond. And that's a bond that's allowed to tax over and above 3% limitation. So there will be an increase of over 3%. I can almost guarantee you that if you live in the Portland metro area.
I think mine went up 15% last year in Multnomah County, probably related to some bond out East County or something.
Right. Yeah. You had the school bond in Gresham.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Yep.
Well, we have a lot of listeners in Clark County side, Steve, and you can also help people in Clark County, correct?
I was in court this week over there. Clark County, I think I shared with you, Chuck. State of Washington's changed their rules a little bit. It's amazing how they do this. Up until this year, if you filed an appeal, the clerk had 15 business days to notify you of the hearing, and you had 6 business days to get the evidence into the to the board before the hearing. As of June 1st, the clerk has 22 business days to notify you, and you have 21 business days to submit your evidence. So essentially, when they mail it to you, you've already late for the evidence on the hearing, so you have to put it in way before they notify you. And I just had a hearing this week for a case we filed in November of last year, so that's how long it's taken to get hearings taken a place over there. And Clark County had a 50% increase in hearings in 2017 and a huge increase again this year because of the McCreary decision.
What is the McCreary decision?
In Washington, they were sued because it was determined that they were not funding schools properly or enough. And so the legislature went ahead and passed a $1.15 billion decision and basically told the local districts, you guys go figure out how to get this money because you got to come up with the money to pay for this. And so the districts went to the local assessors, give us some help here. And so while values have gone up a little bit in the state of Washington, the tax rate went up dramatically. Most people's 11% right now, we're looking at across the board, because of that, the tax increase, not just the value increase, the tax increase on top of the value increase. And I'm going to share with you, my next-door neighbor's granddaughter graduated from college in June, got a job in Woodland in July as a school teacher, grade school teacher. And she was bragging about the fact she hadn't gone to work yet and had a 22% increase in her salary already without going on strike. So that's kind of the outcome of what happened here.
Yeah, the actual settlement on the teacher strike was pretty good for teachers. I mean, they're going to be in pretty good shape. I think something like the and I may have this a little bit wrong, but I think it's once you hit 20 years, you're at the 100,000 plus level.
I don't know for a fact. That could be true, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So Steve, I know any of my clients who are listening that I have talked to them about you. They're smiling right now. They've either given you a call, found out, hey, a no-obligation call, right. And found out, hey, he couldn't help me, or you've helped them significantly. So tell our listeners what you do, what your program is. I mean, to me, it's pretty straightforward, and it's a no-brainer if you have property tax valuation issues. And what, you know, anyway.
Well, thanks for the referrals, by the way.
Yeah.
You and Chuck both, and Carl. Essentially what we do is, for free, and I want to qualify free, we review tax statements of residential and commercial properties for Oregon and Washington property owners. The reason why I qualify that is it's single-tenant commercial properties and single-family residential. Don't send me a 50-unit apartment complex or a 24-unit shopping center and say, hey, I want this done for free, because we will not do that. I'll be happy to do it for you. We're going to charge you for it because there's a lot more time involved. And then myself and my staff reviews it and gets back to you and says, okay, based on our analysis, our preliminary analysis, either, yeah, you should appeal, here's the ballpark settings we're anticipating, or no, it's not worth an appeal, and here's why. We try to explain it to you. And Oregon's property tax laws is so opaque and convoluted that, I mean, it takes someone who knows what they're doing to kind of discuss it with them and tell them what's going on. And in my background, I've sat on hearings with U.S. congressmen, mayors. I've actually represented Supreme Court justices as a taxpayer's rep, and they don't understand it. I've got CPAs that are my clients.
Yep.
That don't understand it, okay?
Well, and that's what I was going to say is stalwarts of the community that have represented themselves are like a home run pitch, lofted up there for the property tax board. Nobody wins, it seems like. Right. It seems like all you hear is story after story of, it should have been, but it's tough.
And we don't guarantee results. We don't win every case.
Yeah.
I want to tell you that. But we do win a lot more than we lose. That's what it boils down to.
And you don't take a case unless you've got a good idea that, hey, we can win this.
We like I say, we don't guarantee results, but what we do is tell people, here's our results based on what we're looking at here, what we think we can achieve here. And most of the time, we're conservative on our estimate. Most of the time, we actually exceed what we recommended as far as savings go. To get kind of down to it, we don't really do cases for the principle of the matter. We don't do cases where you save $6 or $10 because our cost to you is going to be more than that. And, and it's a lot of time and effort on our part to do a case. So we don't want to, you know, put that much investment in a case when it's only going to bring about $15 or $20.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I know from personal experience, somebody that from our show a few years ago saved over $20,000.
Mm-hmm.
in property tax, and I saw a picture of one here that you showed me that this guy, you were able to go back 4 years.
It started as a 3-year appeal. Oregon has a statute called the Gross Error Statute, ORS 305-288, for those who are out there in legal heads. It allows us on residential properties, 4 units and less, to appeal for the current year plus the prior 2 if we can prove that the assessor's real market value assigned to the property is incorrect by 20% or more. Washington's the same rule, but it's 100% in Washington. It's almost impossible to do in Washington, just to let you know. And it's a state tax court filing. We are the largest filer of those kind of cases in Oregon. I have been for the last 4 or 5 years. I have not been to court on one of these cases since March of 14. We turn down more of these cases than we take because there's a lot more elaborate and more expensive, quite frankly, to get involved in. But we're to the point now where since we have so many successful appeals, the judges tell the counties, if he's filed it, it's got merit, settle with him. And so that puts us in a really good position as far as negotiating with the county because the judge is saying, hey, I don't want this case in front of me. And you understand their position. They want to talk about this building we're in right now or Washington Square or the Google Farm in the Dalles or the HP campus in Corvallis. Not a 3-bedroom, 2-bath ranch out in Beaverton. They don't want to talk about that. But if we pay the filing fee, they got to hear the case. So they don't want to do that.
Well, listen, if you have a question for Steve or Kevin or Carl or myself, pick up the phone, give us a call, 503-417-9595 or toll free 877-733-1011 for you podcast listeners. And I do want to mention that we're also doing a podcast every week on thatcast.com. So if you're looking around on the internet, go to thatcast, thatcast.com, and you'll be able to see podcasts there from Investing Simplified. Also, we're on iHeartRadio, and we're also on iTunes. And you can go to my website at PFGWM. You can hear a replay of this show. You can hear a replay of all the shows we've ever done. And you'll also be able to link right on there to the podcast at thatcast.com. So we're trying to get information out to you. I'm going to have Steve come in and do a podcast with me as well and talk about what we're talking about today. But if you have a property and you think you're paying too much on property tax, what you don't know can hurt you. You need to pick up the phone and call Steve. Steve, what's your contact information?
503-869-4349 is my cell number. That gets you directly to my cell. And my email address is steve@1, S as in Sam, T as in Tango, C as in Charlie, P as in Papa.com. steve@1stcp.com.
Okay, as you all know, this show's interactive, and we count on your calls to come in and ask us questions. So we're going to take a quick break and come right back. And we're going to talk to the tax investigator for a few minutes here and see what's happening on the tax side of things. We're talking about property tax. Now we're going to talk about the other tax.
Price Financial Group, Wealth Management.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Coulson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Coulson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We are located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercoulson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercoulson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Coulson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
Do you have a tax question? Here's your opportunity to ask Kevin Stege, CPA and shareholder of the Baker Coulson CPA firm, that tax question that's been keeping you up at night. You can call Kevin 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's the CPA with the tax answers, Kevin Stege.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified, and we're going to continue our information gathering from Steve with First Class Properties. But before we do that, we have a question for him from a caller. We've got Richard on the phone. Richard, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling. And your question?
Well, I'm a brand new resident and homeowner in Salem, Oregon. And I was just wondering, do you have to wait a full year and get the next tax bill that shows up after your closing and stuff before you can do this review that they're talking about?
Great question, Richard. This is Steve. And the answer to your question is yes, because July 1st start a new tax year. And until you get the bill next month, we won't know what the value and the taxes are assigned to that tax year until we see the bill. So essentially, until we have the numbers to work with, we really can't give you a response back. We can't go back in prior years because June 30th was your final appeal date for last year. And if you didn't file by June 30th, we're kind of out of luck in that situation.
Yeah. Well, I closed right around that same time. So, but I appreciate the answer. And what was your telephone number, Steve, at your...
Well, thanks for asking. 503-869-4349.
4349. Okay, well, when I get that bill, I'll be probably giving you all a call.
We'll take a look at it. Thank you very much.
All right.
Very good.
Yeah, you know, that brings up a question, Steve. If you're buying a property and the homeowner you bought the property from didn't do any improvements or anything other than just the fact that you bought the home, wouldn't it be the assumption that the property tax that was paid on that the previous year, can you go back and use that even though you didn't own the home? And let's say they jack yours up 25% and the next year you're the first year in the house, you didn't pay it the year before. Can you go back and compare those two?
That's two questions, and it's a great question. The first one answers no. If you cannot prove you paid taxes in the year you're appealing on, you cannot appeal. So if you bought it this year and try to appeal for last year's taxes, you're out of luck. You can't do that. Secondly, Oregon is the only state, I want to underline this, only state in the country does not have a reset on sale clause as far as the value goes. If the property sells, they can't reset the tax value based upon the sale price. Washington has that. California has that. Idaho has it. Oregon does not have it. That's one good thing going for us. And they're trying to change that, by the way, down in Salem, just to let you know, okay?
Okay. So in other words, if he bought, like in this case, this gentleman, Richard, bought the house, he really can't appeal anything until next July.
Well, no,
or he has to do it before June 30th.
Well, here's what happens. He'll get the bill in October, and actually that's two different questions there again. But the answer to this is that you have to file between the bill in October and December 31st for the local board. You have about a 10-week window there to file in. And that's why we're real busy. In about 3 weeks, we'll be slammed in our office for about 10 weeks. That's what happens.
Okay. Very good. Well, and that was a good question, Chuck, because that was going to be my question to you, and you kind of answered it. But there are certain events where that it allows the county to I call it a qualifying event to reassess or up mm-hmm. it, if you will, your property taxes. But a sale is not one of them. You're just saying
correct.
In Oregon,
correct? But here's what happens if the real market value assigned to property, let's say it's $500,000, and the sale price takes place at $800,000. You can start getting assessor's cards on your window or your door at the house. They want to look at the house and see why it sold for so much more than they have it valued at. They want access to the property to verify and adjust the value, like you're talking about. It's called a meter property, okay. So that they can support it with pictures and you know, actually physical evidence. In Oregon, you're not required to let them in the house. Don't let them in the house, okay? The statute, the Supreme Court says that you're allowed on the property, not in the property without the owner's permission. So I usually consult my clients, say, don't let them in. You don't have to by law. I don't care how many cards they put on your door or window. Don't let them in.
Unless you have a wall full of mold and your swimming pool's leaking in the basement or something.
Yeah, I've had clients do things like leave dirty diapers on the floor, stick the dogs on them, you know, all kinds of stuff, you know. So, I don't know how effective that was, but no, I just tell people, now there is come a point in time where they'll have to get access to property if you're going after them for value. And that's where I get involved. And I usually, myself or some of my staff, attend those inspections with the county assessor's office.
Uh-huh.
But for the property owner to do it by himself, I don't recommend that at all.
So in a couple, 2-3 weeks here, people are going to be getting their property tax statements. What would be a factor or conditions they should be looking for that would tip them off that maybe they should give you a call or that there's an appealable condition here? What should they look for?
We don't look at the tax amount so much. We look at the value. That's what we look at, because that's what you're going to appeal.
The fair market value.
Fair market value.
Okay.
And understand something in Oregon. You get your bill in October, the week of October, they mail it out. It's for a value as of 1 January of this year. So the bill is like 10 months after the fact. So you want to bracket that date 10 months ago for the value. And keep that in perspective. Now, was your house worth this much or your property worth this much 10 months ago or not? That's a question you have to ask. And that's what we do. We kind of, when we pull your information together, we go back and we bracket that January 1st date and look at sales comparables. Or if you bought the property, look at that sale as your best, you know, evidence of the market value.
Gotcha. Now, they're looking at, they assess on the lower of their assessed value or the fair market value, correct? Two questions. I'll let you answer that.
You guys are good. Two questions.
Exactly.
Yeah. In Oregon, there are two values assigned to the property, real market value and assessed value. Assessed value goes up 3% per year without an event.
Okay.
Real market value follows the market. The assessor signs it every year. If there was no bonds or levies passed by any county, and that's not true in Oregon, by the way, in any of the counties, you'd be paying $15 per thousand millage rate statewide, okay, based on the assessed value. Well, you have bonds and levies to take place, and that pushes the pressure up against the real market value. And in Multnomah County, because the Multnomah County voters are so supportive here of bonds and levies, I can almost guarantee you that if I can lower the real market value by a dollar, I'm going to create what's called compression on the taxes and start cutting the taxes as we go. And it's rampant in Multnomah County, because Multnomah County, I don't know what it is right now with the PCC bond, but it was $25.01 was the millage rate last year in Portland Public School System. So it'd be higher this year.
I see.
$26, $27 per thousand, what it's going to be. So the average state rate is around $12 per thousand, just to let you know.
Okay. Well, very interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Well.
Well, the other thing I was going to say, sometimes the way property's been going up the last 3 years, sometimes people might be surprised, but their tax actually might be lower. And they might be seeing houses selling around them much higher than the property tax they're paying on their house. In that case, you don't want to be complaining about anything.
There are times that tell people on the phone, hey, look at your situation, your statement. You're actually low. Leave it alone. Don't kick that dog, you know?
Exactly. You're in a good position. Yeah. And that's what I was going to ask. So somebody who's been in a home for 10 or 15 years and they've only had the 3%, if you will, each year, plus or minus some bonds, probably are in a decent position, but maybe not?
Yeah, it depends on where they're at. Obviously, Portland mm-hmm. would be worse than Gresham or Sauvies Island or someplace like that. But I look at, you can go on to Portland Maps and look at tax statements like the last 10, 12 years on our property. I should say tax dollar amounts.
Uh-huh.
I'm amazed. If I go into the city of Portland and look, from 1997 to 2017, there's at least 100% increase, if not more, in taxes on that property with a 3% limitation involved, okay? It shouldn't be, you know, we're talking way over 100%. In fact, I'm seeing some cases in 10 years that it happens, a 100% increase in taxes, okay? With no improvements on the property whatsoever. It's just the bonds and levies and the value going up is what it is. And for senior citizens who lived on fixed incomes, and I've talked about before in this show, is that, and I think you'll agree with me also, Kevin, mm-hmm. The property tax bill paid for by property owners in Oregon is typically the highest check written by a property owner or a homeowner to a government entity of more than the federal taxes, more than the state taxes every year. And they have no control over it. It keeps going up every year more and more. And I'm having senior citizens call me all the time. I can't eat. I can't pay my insurance. I can pay my property taxes. That's what happens. I mean, it makes me want to cry because we're taxing people at our houses. I don't think that's fair. Mm-hmm. I really don't.
That's right. Well, if you have a question for Steve, again, our number is 503-417-9595 or 877-733-1011. Any questions?
Have you got any tax information to add to this?
No, I don't. This is good stuff. I just, again, have to reiterate the benefit that, you know, it's a win-win situation. Those statements come out. If you feel you've been overpaid paying your taxes, it doesn't hurt to give Steve a call. He'll ask you for some basic some basic documents, and he'll let you know off the top whether it's something they should dig into. And how do you and your team get paid out of this?
If we recommend an appeal going forward, we charge a flat fee up front to file for the client.
I see.
We actually become the clients. We do. They sign some documentation. We take over. Almost like an attorney. We become your advocate. We file the forms timely manner. We schedule if there's an appointment for inspection. We schedule that, coordinate that with you, the property owner, and we actually attend that. And then we gather all the evidence and actually go testify in front of the board. That's what we do. We have a flat fee for that. Plus, we charge a percentage of the savings on the backside. That's what we do.
Gotcha.
So most of our clients, around $1,000 savings makes a lot of sense for us to be involved. Less than $1,000, sometimes it's not an advantage. However, if we cut the taxes this year, it's likely we'll cut the taxes again next year because we lowered that value down to work off of.
Exactly. Yeah, year after year after year, it's going to compound if you get your base rate lowered and they can't raise it theoretically more than 3%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of those deals where, you know, if you're looking at your tax bill and you think, you know, gee, this is just crazy, you might want to pick up the phone and give Steve a call because, you know, he's going to be able to tell you in a very short time if you have a case or not. And I know you can do that because we've had people call you and you've told them right off the bat, hey, you can do something or you can't do something.
Mm-hmm.
So, you look at, if in doubt, pick up the phone, give Steve a call. And ask him. He'll be able to tell you in a very short period of time if he can or he can't. And if he can, I'm telling you, this guy knows what he's doing. And if he says he can do it, you need to go through and follow through with it.
I think people would be shocked at the turnover that takes place in the assessor's offices statewide. There is an average of 22% turnover every year in assessor staff people. And they're making value decisions on your properties all the time. That's 1 in 5 people are gone every year. So there's no continuity there at all. And I'm just amazed at the mistakes they make. It's all done by computer pretty much. But the computer input is by a human.
Yeah. That's what you're dealing with. Yeah. And, you know, this is one of those things where you really kind of have to look out for yourself. You're the property owner. You're the only one who really sees it. I doubt there's ill intent at the assessor's office to screw you over, if you will, pardon the French. But, you know, mistakes happen, and, you know, you kind of just have to look out for yourself, and it's just a good thing, especially to have an advocate like you who has been on the board. You know the inside methods, if you will, what they're looking for, and can package. Don't you go in with like a briefcase full of cases, and they block out a set of time for you?
I get days with the counties. Yeah, when I go in and testify. Yeah.
Hey, well, we got a caller on the line. We've got a caller. Ron's got a question about taxes. Ron, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, and your question?
If you live in Washington, but you work in Oregon, and you pay all the state income taxes, is there any way to get any of that back?
Say that again. What was your final question?
If you live in Washington, you work in Oregon, is there any way to get your income tax, state income tax, back? Because I don't get any benefit for just working in Oregon.
Ah, gotcha. Well, you cross that bridge, don't you, every day? No, I'm sorry. I'm just being facetious, Ryan. There is sort of. You do have to pay your Oregon income taxes if all of your working days are in Oregon. If you're a Washington resident and you work in Washington, you can prorate your tax to Oregon based on the number of days that you worked in Oregon versus the number of days in Washington. So say you work a month in Washington at a different location, maybe your home office or something, then there is a method that you prorate your wages to Oregon based on the number of days. But if you physically work
in Oregon,
I'm sorry, say again.
If you only work in Oregon,
you'll pay 100
days of work.
Yeah, 100% of your taxes to Oregon.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Ron, I have a similar situation because my office is in Portland. Although we have a location in Vancouver that we do have appointments at, but we're still having to pay the tax. And the thing is, you have to do it. I mean, you want to work and you have your job and just the way life is. I don't like it that I have to pay all those taxes to Oregon and I don't get to vote and I don't get to complain and holler at them, but the fact is, it's just the way it is.
And then you're paying sales tax when you shop in Washington.
And then I'm paying sales tax when I shop in Washington. So we get it both ways, so I certainly understand where you're coming from.
Okay.
Okay, I wish we had a better answer for you, but we just don't. And maybe someday they'll have a reciprocal agreement, but I doubt it. Both states need money. We're going to take a quick break and come right back with Investing Simplified. Thanks for your call, Ron. Thank you very much. We'll be right back with Investing Simplified.
Price Financial Group, Wealth Management. Price Financial Group, Wealth Management.
Are you concerned about your retirement income? Do you really understand how your Social Security benefits work? Price Financial Group Wealth Management has helped many seniors in Oregon and Washington maximize their Social Security benefits at retirement through using their Social Security seminar on demand. Now you can watch this valuable information in the comfort of your home by just going to www.pfgwm.com and click on the free Social Security kit. If you are serious about your retirement planning, you cannot afford to miss this opportunity. After all, you have invested your hard-earned dollars into Social Security all your working years. So shouldn't you get the maximum return you can get from those dollars? The future can be scary, and without a plan, it can be even scarier, especially when facing the unknown. What you don't know can hurt you. Get your free Social Security kit at pfgwm.com or call 503-253-3000.
This is our Spotlight on Business, where we bring you an expert on the latest in the financial world, from residential real estate to commercial property or to property tax relief. Buying or selling a business or residential property financing. Get your answers here. Now here is our special guest.
Steve Anderson is a special guest with us today. And if you had $1 million, you might want to buy some property. And if you bought that property, you might want to talk to Steve about keeping your tax at a reasonable rate. Would that be a fair assessment?
Thank you, yes.
Well, Steve, when you're doing those hearing preparation and that sort of thing, does the assessor's office or the board that's going to hear the hearing, do they ever kind of, you know, try to negotiate something with you, or do they make you present the hearing?
Thanks, Carl, for that question. About 10% of our cases are worked out through what we call stipulated agreements, where we arrive at a value, we agree on a value before the hearing takes place. Like I said, about 1 out of 10. And typically that's done way in advance of the hearing itself, usually 3 or 4 weeks before the hearing takes place. Kevin asked me earlier, I go in for days at a time and testify in these counties. So pretty much the end of March, I'm in hearings almost all the time. So I mean, the last 2 weeks of March, usually during spring break, I'm in hearings all the time.
I'm sure that it's difficult to get through all those cases sometimes. Just simply the volume, it strikes me, would encourage a quick resolution that everybody can live with.
I do about 40 cases a day in Multnomah County, which is a lot of cases. Mm-hmm. And I had some. I don't have clients attend the hearings very often. I had clients attend the hearings last year. All of them came in the same day. In fact, a couple of them were actually attorneys. And they were shocked how fast these things go through and decisions are made, because the board has about 10 minutes to make a decision in Multnomah County. And you have to be, as you can tell, I'm a fast talker. You have to be a fast talker and get your point across very quickly and be pertinent and talk about the major things they want to talk about. And the average property owner doesn't know what that's not their fault. They just aren't expert on it. And so they go in and talk about their neighbor's taxes. They talk about their sister's taxes. And really, the board can only talk about the real market value and how it might affect your taxes. That's what it boils down to.
Well, it's an interesting process. It's an interesting process.
Does the board pretty much have the final say and just try to be reasonable in this? Or is there you can't come to an agreement and they're saying your property's worth twice what it is there another process, or you just try to be as reasonable as you can?
Two questions again. All right.
Sorry.
Well, yes, the board has a final decision. Mm-hmm. However, in both Oregon and Washington, the statute says the assessor is right until you prove them wrong. So you're going in on an uphill battle. You got to make the board understand that, look, they're wrong, and here's why they're wrong, and show it to them. And have them agree with you to come up with any kind of a settlement in your favor. And then, yeah, both states have appeal processes. Usually within 30 days of the written decision from either county, you can go ahead and appeal to the state level.
Right.
It boils down to. But as you appeal, as you climb the appeal ladder, the costs go up significantly.
Yeah.
Just let you know.
Yeah.
Now, you sent me an email about there were some changes in Clark County.
Correct.
In the law.
Right.
And so do you want to explain that to our listeners?
We'll talk about
those
it again.
People in Clark County that...
Yeah. Up until June 1st of this year, if you filed an appeal, actually in the state of Washington, not just Clark County, in the state of Washington, the clerk was required by statute to give you 15 business days notice, mail out that notice of the meeting to you, and you had 6 business days to get your evidence into the board, and I mean delivered to the board, not postmark. It has to be actually physically there 6 business days before the hearing takes place. As of June 1st, they changed that. The clerk has 22 business days now to notify you. And you have 21 business days before the hearing to get your evidence in. So essentially, when they mail the notice to you, you're already late. And if you submit your evidence after that 21-day period, if you're into it, they won't allow it. So you need to have your evidence in before they mail you the notice. And I was just sharing with you, I had a hearing, I think it was on Tuesday of this week, where we filed November 17th of last year for that hearing. It was 10 months ago we filed for the hearing. So that gives the assessor 10 months to look at my evidence.
How long can they legally delay having a hearing? Can they do it in for as long as they want?
It's based upon how many hearings they have. This year was really late because there were so many cases filed in Clark County last year, 2017. 891 cases were filed in Clark County. About 500 were filed in 2016. Over 1,200 were filed this year so far, and they're still coming in.
So just some simple math. Of all those cases that were filed, do you have any idea how many of them got their taxes reduced?
I'm told, we got all our clients all got savings, but I'm told by the board clerk over there, over half of the people who filed got some kind of savings.
Wow.
Yeah.
And yours was 100%.
So far. Knock on wood.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah.
So does something like a mobile home, which is personal property, does that qualify or is it no?
We would hear that case as a hearings officer, but it's a totally different process.
Okay.
It's a value process. But, yeah, personal property is a whole different ballgame.
I see. But the underlying land, if the homeowner owned the land and they felt they had a valuation issue on the land, that would...
As a hearings officer, former hearings officer, I can tell you I've had cases about spoons and forks and knives in a nursing home.
Okay. Yeah,
how many ovens are there?
Okay.
Seriously.
Okay.
Talk about getting upset, you know.
Oh, wow.
And I got the assessor arguing with the property owner. I said, you know what? Let's just do this easy. You guys get in your car money when you drive out to Malala and look at this place, inventory the whole thing. Guess what? They had to settle the next day. They want to go to Malala and do all that stuff, you know, because the board can direct the assessor to go do that. In that case, they weren't happy with me. But I said, you know, I'm not going to sit and argue about forks and spoons and knives with you guys. That's just stupid. It really is. It's a waste of everybody's time.
Yeah.
So,
well, a lot of people don't know, and maybe our listeners don't know, and it's a shock to some of our new business owners, but all property is subject to property taxation, if you will, in Oregon, unless specifically excluded.
Mm-hmm.
Personal use property is specifically excluded, but your business property, such as your computers, your desks, all of that personal property, that is subject to property taxes.
And you have to pay it every year.
You do.
Yeah, I know it. Yeah.
Well, and that's a good comment, too, because as a hearings officer, I can tell you that small business owners particularly don't really pay attention to that kind of stuff. Their bookkeeper does it, or accountant does it, not blaming accountants.
Right, no.
But I remember one time we had a guy come in who owned a cabinet shop. He was down to 6 employees because in 2011, there weren't a lot of cabinets being built. And on his personal, his business property, he had 9 typewriters and 15 computers. And we're all going, well, there's 6 people working there. Where are all these computers at? And he goes, I only got 2 computers and I don't have a typewriter at all. You're paying $5 or $7 a year in taxes on each one of those items. Take them off your list.
Yeah.
You know? So, and he didn't know that. He came in, he goes, it's too high. I go, well, you haven't gone through and done the inventory, which you actually got there. It's still on your inventory. It's not a lot of money per, but you take 15 or 20 times $5 or $7, it adds up pretty fast.
Yeah.
What happens?
So what's...
what I do to reduce mine, I have a quill pen and and an abacus. And you know, they're just antiques, so we don't count them at all.
There's value in that abacus there, Carl.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you know how to use it, I guess. But to me, it's just a Target, thing. So... shoot at it.
Well, pets are personal property by law, right? So Jake is going to be taxed there because he has a business purpose for you there, right, Carl?
Well, oh, that's right. Yeah. He's a greeter.
Oh, okay. Very good. Well, Steve, what would be the worst thing somebody could do to mess up their this process, or what's the best thing they should do?
Well, you asked two questions.
Yes,
again.
I did.
The best thing they can do is, in Oregon, you will receive, within 30 days of your transaction, your property, buying your property, a letter from the assessor's office saying they want to update their records, and they want you to check off what kind of financing was involved, how much you paid for it, are you planning remodeling, that kind of stuff. Tear that up and throw it away. You're not required to send that back. Because they will take that, once you sign it, and use it as an affidavit against you in a hearing, saying, well, you said this and you said that. And then the board's sitting there going, now, which time are you lying, when you wrote the letter or when you actually come here and talk in front of us? So don't hang yourself by your own tongue.
So when does that letter come?
It comes within 30 days, typically, after you purchase a property. It's from the county assessor's office.
I see.
And I had a retired state Supreme Court justice get one of those. And he asked me, he said, I'm an officer of the court. I got to fill this out. No, you don't, Your Honor. Yes, I do. I got to fill it out. It's got the letterhead and everything else. Your Honor, don't do that. And he goes, well, why wouldn't I do that? I'm not an attorney, Your Honor. You are. Why don't you go review the statutes, laws, or administrative rules says you got to fill it out and get back to me. I've been doing this for a long time. I haven't seen it. And so he called me a couple days later. He goes, it doesn't exist anywhere. Why wouldn't I fill this out? I told him the story about filling it out, signing it, and then having them use that evidence against you in a hearing. He goes, why would I do that? And I go, that's what I'm trying to tell you. Tear it up and throw it away. Yeah.
Okay.
So don't do that.
Okay. Well, very good. Very good. Well, I think we are close to another break time here. We'll take our last break and come back to Investing Simplified. And we're here with Steve Anderson of First Class Properties. Again, our numbers, we'd love to have you be part of the conversation, but it's getting close. 503-417-9595 or 877-733-1011. You're listening to Investing Simplified. Wealth Management.
Financial Brew, Wealth Management. We do Investing Simplified.
Hello, my name is Carl Jepsen, estate planning attorney and co-host of the long-running radio talk show, Investing Simplified. My law practice emphasizes estate planning and probate. My mission statement is practical estate planning for peace of mind. This means that I listen carefully to my clients. I explain the various estate planning techniques and documents in the most understandable terms that I can. I try to make sure that my clients are comfortable with what we are doing together before proceeding, and I discuss my fees up front so the clients don't get any unwanted surprise. Estate planning and probate don't have to be that complicated. My experienced staff and I work closely with our clients to guide them through both of these matters in the simplest and most efficient manner possible. My office is located in the White Office Building at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 101, right across the street from Mall 205. My telephone number is 971-229-0585, and my website is carljepsenlaw.com.
Investments, tax questions, or legal concerns? Get them all answered now for free. Call Chuck, Kevin, or Carl for your answers. Call 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's the Knowledge Trust.
Well, welcome back to Investing Simplified. And as usually happens on our show, we're going to kind of miss out on some of our regular segments because the phone lines have lit up like a Christmas tree. So we're going to be taking those calls. I do want one quick announcement, however. We're in the process of merging with another firm, and we are going to have a location on the west side for listeners who have never had a chance to do business with us on the west side. We're going to be having a location on the west side in the Beaverton Tigard area, and so that'll be available to you listeners who want to meet with us. We'll be able to do it on the west side. So that's going to be coming up, and I'll be announcing more in weeks to come. So stay tuned. Okay, Jerry's got a question for Steve. Jerry, are you there?
Hi, Steve. What is the difference between Oregon and Washington when a buyer of a property pays more than the tax agency's market value? Does the property taxes go up similar and comparing the two states?
Jerry, in Washington, that can happen. In Oregon, typically it does not.
In Oregon, does it, when you say typically it does not, but it can happen?
Well, what Oregon does, what the counties actually do is the counties divide up into market districts. So, in Multnomah County, has 308 market districts. So, let's say you bought your property in one of these districts. They take the whole district's improvement or loss, if you will, and apply that to the real market value for that property in that district. Washington can reset the value based upon the sale.
Okay. So, would you say that in Oregon it's a little bit more lenient or benefit to the buyer of the property?
I would say currently it is, although I think the legislature is working on changing that. So, I mentioned earlier in the show, Oregon's the only state in the country that does not have a reset on sale clause, as all the states do. So that's one benefit we do have going for us. But they're trying to change that, though.
And another question. On 1099...
Two questions, really?
Well, I could... on 1099, you can explain that to your audience if you want. Typically does the state of Oregon get involved in disputing that? Have you had any cases of that on the value that you might establish on a fair trade?
On a fair trade?
Not a fair trade. On a trade, setting a value for what you're buying and what you're selling and trying to do a 1099 exchange.
A 1031 exchange, you mean?
1031, yeah.
Correct.
Oh.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. That's going to be the same, you know, that's going to be a willing buyer and a willing seller, and so I don't think they get involved in what somebody's willing to buy or sell for. Would that affect, Steve?
Having a Department of Revenue background, if you're within 10% of what they think the value is, they're not going to mess with it at all. That's what it boils down to. If it's a $400,000 property and you exchange it for $200,000, say that's the value, they're going to fight you on it. If it's a $400,000 property, they would, yes. Versus if it's a $400,000 property and you bought it for $370,000, they probably wouldn't even look at it, quite frankly. That's an opinion, but that's what I would say.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, because really on a 1031, you're just exchanging property for property.
Correct.
So, yeah.
And it's usually not the same two people. It's third parties. You didn't even know who's getting your property half the time.
Facilitators.
So, Jerry, did we answer all your questions?
He did.
Great. Thank you very much. Appreciate the call. We've got Cheryl's got a question about property value. Cheryl?
I'm calling. This is not a situation that I'm personally involved in, but it's situations I've heard happening to people, and I know of somebody that's happened to kind of recently. The Ridgefield area is just exploding right now, and what has been farmland for a long, long time is now getting houses all over it. And there's a gentleman that lives out in this area. He's lived here all his life. He's in his 80s now. He has maintained owning the property, from what I understand. I don't know all the details, of approximately 10 acres with, I guess, my understanding, there was nothing on it. I could be slightly off on that. Maybe there was still an old farmhouse. I don't know. But anyway, they developed it all around this property. And, of course, they wanted the property, somebody did, to do more development on. And they've kind of just valued the property so blasted high, he had to sell it because he couldn't afford the taxes on it. I mean, what kind of a... To me, that's just wrong. If he wanted to hang on to the property because it's been in his family all his years, he should be able to do that. But if you can't afford the taxes on it, then they push you out. And, you know, morally, I think that's terrible. But what can a person do if you can't afford the outrageous taxes to keep it as farmland, you know, and you got all these new houses sitting around you? Is there anything you can do if you don't have the money to, you know, to try to fight that, to bring the value back down to something reasonable?
Well, Cheryl, I'm not expert on Washington tax law, as that goes. In Oregon, I know that if there's 10-acre parcel sitting there and has not been rezoned at all, it's surrounded by single-family residential, it will not go up in taxes, because even though it has the propensity to become, you know, 40 houses at one point in time, until the zoning takes place, and usually the zoning has to be changed by the current property owner, there's no taxable event. So I'm not sure what Washington laws are, so you're kind of beyond my expertise in that situation, that question, as to how Washington would handle that. I'm sorry.
Mm, okay. All right. Well, thanks.
You know, Steve, is there any recourse for retired people whose property taxes just keep going up and up and up?
In Washington, there is. In Oregon, there's not.
Okay, what is the remedy in Washington?
Washington, if you have a household income, I believe it's below $40,000 a year, you can get a senior reduction in the property taxes. And I'm not really sure, you know, what it kicks in at, what the savings are. It's about maybe $300 to $500 a year on your taxes, what it is, overall.
Well, not very much then.
No. No, but it's better than what Oregon gives you, which
well,
is nothing.
Better than nothing.
Yes.
Better than nothing. Yeah. Okay. Carl, how's somebody get a hold of you?
Well, my telephone number is 971-229-0585, and my website is carljepsonlaw.com.
All right. Very good. Well, Steve, I want to give one scenario here that I think is fairly common and see what the ramifications are. Say somebody was going to put a small addition on their house. And maybe it was borderline whether they needed a permit or not, you know, legally, not under the table. But they're trying to figure out, you know, hey, if I get this permit, is this, you know, going to reset my property values and crank my property taxes sky high? What should they be looking for to potentially look at that part of the equation?
Well, there's a situation where if the amount is less than $25,000 of market improvement, okay, you can stretch it out over a five-year period of time, never exceeding $10,000 in 1 year, and not have a taxable event. It's called a minor improvement, minor construction statute. Okay, now that's real market value. If you pay $7,000 for lumber, it could be more than $10,000 in value when you get done with it. Okay, don't, because people make that mistake. Well, here's my receipts, and I did the work myself. Sorry, you've added more than $10,000
of value.
Here, okay, and, yeah. You got a deal on the granite countertops, but you put them in, and not put $20,000 in the kitchen is what you did. So. So that's one thing. And then secondly, I want to talk a little bit more about admitted property, a do and don't, if you will. And I see this more with the contracts than I do with the property owners. You, when you pull a permit, residential remodeling or commercial remodeling, whatever, you're required to give a final, on the final unit for occupancy, improvement value on that project, not the total value. And contracts will take the total dollar amount, the drop boxes, the porta potties, and throw it in there. And the assessor comes running with the next bill and goes, here, a licensed professional says it was worth this, and it wasn't. And I get the phone call from the, you know, the unhappy property owner going, I got a $4,000 jack in my property taxes because of this. And so I had to go through and figure out, okay, what was and what wasn't. Maintenance is not taxable. Improvements are. So things like replacing sidewalks or driveways or sewer lines or water lines, replacing your roof most of the time, paint jobs, carpeting. If you replace like for like a deck or a fence, rot repair, siding replacement. Those are all maintenance. Those are not improvements. And as the property gets older and older and older, I see the ratio of more maintenance to improvements on properties.
Right.
But I get people calling me all the time, I got a $200,000 increase in my value because my contractor put this down the permit. And now we got to go back through and fight it. And usually the county, when I bring it to their attention, go, yeah, you're right. Let's look at this.
Yeah, because really, if you think about it, if you go get a permit to do a new roof and it costs, I don't know, $25,000, if they add that to the value of your home, all you're doing is doing maintenance, re-putting the roof on. Now, it does increase if you're going to sell your house. There's a new roof. That helps.
Right. It helps us sell marketability of property.
Yeah.
But here's the argument I would give to the county. Did you depreciate the roof on that was there before, every year? Every year it was there. They didn't do that. Okay. Well, if you don't depreciate it, you can't appreciate it also. It's a fixed cost object, what it
is.
And it has
sense.
To be on the house.
Okay. Steve, how's somebody get a hold of you?
503-869-4349, steve@1stcp.com.
And Kevin?
We are at baker-colson.com, 503-666-5569.
I got Carl's a little premature there, Carl. Thanks for handing that out to us right up front. You can reach me at pfgwm.com. Make sure you go to our site, look for our podcast, and you can have a replay of this show. So if you want to contact Steve Anderson, you can do that. And we're at 503-253-3000. Thanks for listening to Investing Simplified. God bless you all, and we'll be back next week.
Price Financial Group, Wealth Management. Price Financial Group Wealth Management. We do investing simplified. Price Financial Group Wealth Management.
You can listen to past shows of Investing Simplified or sign up for our free newsletter at www.pfgwm.com. This show is brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103, Portland, Oregon, 97216, 503-253-3000, or 877-50-PRICE. Investing Simplified is a registered trademark owned by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated.
Price Financial Group Wealth Management.
Navigating through today's financial investment world can seem pretty scary. Now, here's the good news. Chuck Price, president of Price Financial Group Wealth Management, introduces a new revolutionary concept that will change how you invest now and in the future. It's called Asset Lock. Asset Lock monitors your investment accounts 24/7, 365, and alerts you when action needs to be taken. And now, Chuck Price offers Asset Lock. At Price Financial Group Wealth Management, we believe all our clients deserve to have Asset Lock monitoring their accounts. So call Chuck today or online at pfgwm.com and learn how you can get Asset Lock on your accounts today for free. Price Financial Group Wealth Management, because the smart investor knows what you don't know can hurt you.
Simplify.
Call 503-253-3000. That's 503-253-3000.